You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, January 15, 2026. Into the great wide open. Technology, LNG pull gas producers into high-stakes Western Haynesville. Published by Sheetal Nasta. Producers venturing into the substantial natural gas reserves in the far west part of the Haynesville Shale, south of Dallas and about 200 miles west of DeSoto Parish, Louisiana, in the core Haynesville, were historically thwarted by extreme geological conditions and poor drilling economics, which quickly relegated the area to the back burner in the early years of the shale era. Now, technological advancements and bullish market conditions are once again beckoning producers to look beyond the core areas of the Haynesville. Rig activity in the Western Haynesville is the highest it's been in 10 years, and production volumes have been ticking up over the past two. In today's RBN blog, we begin a series looking at recent activity and production scenarios for the region as it fits into the larger Gulf Coast supply-demand balance. Before we dive into the latest dynamics of the Western Haynesville development, let's start with some quick definitions and geography to put it in the context of the larger Haynesville. What we in the broader market commonly refer to as the Haynesville is, of course, one of the OGs of shale development, bursting onto the scene in 2008, during the early days of the shale revolution. The sweet spots lie on or just off the Cotton Valley shelf edge along the northern stretch of the Texas-Louisiana border. Please note we use generalized terms for basins and formations, which are commonplace in the industry but not necessarily the precise geological classification. The Haynesville is a surface area that provides access to formations such as the Austin Chalk, Cotton Valley, and other basins for development and extraction. We have written extensively about the Haynesville Shale in the RBN blogosphere, See Say You'll Be There, Don't Call It a Comeback, and, most recently, Sitting, Waiting, Wishing. In short, the wells here are deep, 10,500 to 13,500 feet, compared to 4,000 to 8,000 feet in the Marcellus, and expensive to drill, but the basin offers large, overpressurized, dry gas reserves, a profile that was highly attractive in 2008 when gas supply disruption fears gripped the market and gas prices at the national benchmark Henry Hub were well over $4 per million BTU. By 2010, with Haynesville production taking off, prices back below $4 per million BTU and lease expirations from the land rush of 2008 to 2009 looming, producers pushed beyond the core areas to test the effectiveness of unconventional drilling techniques farther west. That included the region where the hot spots of Western Haynesville development now lie, in Limestone, Freestone, Robertson, and Leon counties. However, producers quickly determined the region was challenging and expensive. Given sub-$4 per million BTU prices at the time, activity quickly fizzled out, that is, until recent years. As we detailed in Dig a Little Deeper, the extreme conditions remain a risk for drilling economics in the area. The reservoirs are up to 19,000 feet deep with an average well depth in mid-2024 of 16,872 feet, according to Enverus data, compared to 11,700 feet in the traditional Haynesville. Bottom hole temperatures can exceed 450 degrees Fahrenheit in the Western Haynesville, whereas temperatures are relatively cooler at 320 degrees Fahrenheit or so in the traditional Haynesville, although it varies. The extreme depths and harsh conditions mean that it takes a lot more time to drill than in the core Haynesville, and drilling and completion costs are among the highest in the industry, ranging from more than $20 million to nearly $40 million per well. And while the wells boast impressive initial production rates, upward of 30 million cubic feet per day versus an average 21 million cubic feet per day in the traditional Haynesville, 20 million cubic feet per day from the Marcellus and 2 million cubic feet per day from the oil-focused Permian on average in 2025, they could also require additional upfront investment in midstream facilities and logistics to accommodate large swings in volume resulting from the high IP rates, high pressure output, and subsequent declines. On top of all that, this is a pure gas play without the potential uplift of oil or NGLs like the Permian. No doubt the Western Haynesville is still fraught with challenges and uncertainties. And as we warned in Should Have Been a Cowboy, it's still early days and the area's long-term prospects remain a question mark. But in some respects, much has changed since the early shale era days, and the outlook may be as good as it's ever been. Technological advancements, such as insulated drill pipes, mud chilling systems, and advanced hydraulic fracturing techniques, are now available to handle the extreme conditions present there. As a result, Comstock Resources, the firm that has had the most success in the area, has seen dramatically lower drilling times and costs than just a few years ago. Moreover, Comstock, for one, has said it has been experimenting with a choke management program across many of the wells, limiting initial production in hopes of improving estimated ultimate recovery. Additionally, in terms of market conditions, the Gulf Coast natural gas market is experiencing an extended demand boom. LNG facilities have added nearly 20 BCF per day of export demand on the Gulf Coast since 2016, and sanctioned projects will just about double that volume over the next 10 years. And, as we discussed in God Blessed Texas, there's a slew of data center projects proposed in eastern Texas that could significantly boost demand for both power and gas in the region. The demand boom is ushering in an era of tighter supply-demand balances and higher natural gas prices in the Gulf Coast region. See all shook up. This, along with the technological advancements, has made the tough conditions of the mega well play less daunting, if still challenging. A handful of producers, at least, have dusted off their boots to test the frontier. You might want to take a look at Figure 2 in today's blog, which plots the horizontal wells with a minimum vertical depth of 13,000 feet drilled in the four counties since 2022. The well count is broken out in the table into producing wells versus other wells, which is defined as permitted, drilled, drilling and completed wells, excluding permitted wells that were canceled or expired. The map also shows active rigs as of December. Much of the new activity is dominated by Comstock and focused within a narrow corridor in Leon and Robertson counties. Comstock, a stalwart of the traditional Haynesville and a pioneer in the western part of the basin from the early shale days, had four active rigs through much of 2025. It had 42 wells as of December, including 28 producing wells and 14 other wells. Most of its wells are in Leon County, but also some in Robertson County, with one in Freestone County. In 2025, 8 wells were turned to sales with an average per well IP rate of 35 million cubic feet per day, 3 of those in Q3 2025. In its Q3 earnings call, Comstock said it sold some of its core Haynesville assets to increase its focus on the Western Haynesville. Aethon Energy Management, one of the largest private producers operating in the Haynesville, has no active rigs in the play but has 7 producing wells and another 11 in pre-production stages, primarily in Robertson County. Japanese trading house Mitsubishi said January 16 that it was buying Aethon's shale gas assets in Texas and Louisiana for $5.2 billion. Mitsui E&P USA, the U.S. affiliate of Tokyo-based trader Mitsui & Company Limited, drilled an exploratory vertical test well in Leon County in early March and has since drilled 3 horizontal wells, including one in Freestone County. All wells are in preliminary stages and have not reported production yet. The permitted depth for Mitsui's wells reaches up to 30,000 feet, suggesting it could target multiple formations. Expand Energy, the combination of Chesapeake Energy and Southwestern Energy, a major player in the traditional Haynesville, has ventured into the Far West region in recent months. In its Q3 2025 earnings presentation, it said it had established a prospective position of 75,000 net acres in the western Haynesville with plans to drill a horizontal well in Q4 2025 to assess reservoir deliverability. As of December, it had one active rig and one other well in place. Production from the area amounts to just a thin sliver of the output from the traditional Haynesville, but it's been slowly growing over the past 2 years. Gross gas volumes from Comstock and Aethon wells combined increased from zero in 2022 to nearly 400 million cubic feet per day on average in the first 9 months of 2025. Figure 3 shows what recent activity would mean for growth out of this non-core region long-term. Note that the historical and forecast volumes are for the larger 14-county region within which the western Haynesville hotspots lie. For the base forecast scenario, we assume a flat 6 rigs through the forecast period, and, due to the depth and complexity of these wells, a 120-day drilling cycle, based on recent data from our friends at Enverus. It's worth noting, though, that efficiency gains could reduce cycle times and unlock additional volumes, as they have many times in the past. Historical production flows from the region fell from 1.2 BCF per day in the mid-2010s to about 0.8 BCF per day in the early 2020s and bottomed out in 2022, but have climbed steadily since then, averaging 1.1 BCF per day in the first 9 months of 2025. Based on our forecast assumptions, that would increase by 660 million cubic feet per day to 1.8 BCF per day by 2035. If we assume 4 rigs through the forecast period, volumes drop back to 1 BCF per day by 2035. But if producers were to add 2 additional rigs in 2027, growth would accelerate to 2 BCF per day by 2035. Of course, the western Haynesville isn't the only supply growth in northeast Texas. The traditional Texas Haynesville will grow even more, and with the completion of the Hugh Brinson pipeline later this year, northeast Texas will also serve as an increasingly important supply route for Permian gas. Much of this supply, local and inflows from the Permian, will be competing for pipeline capacity to reach LNG export facilities and other demand centers along the Gulf Coast. That begs the question, what are the prospects for those Western Haynesville producers taking big risks to get in on that game? We'll look at the supply-demand factors at play in Northeast Texas in an upcoming blog. U.S. natural gas exports to Mexico and their role in helping to balance gas supply and demand north of the border will be among the many topics discussed at RBN's upcoming GasCon 2026, the one-day conference, to be held at Hilton Americas in Houston on Wednesday, February 25th, will bring together RBN's top analysts and leading executives from across the industry to discuss the latest developments in Gulf Coast gas markets. For more on GasCon 2026, visit the events tab on our website at rbnenergy.com. Into the Great Wide Open was written by Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne and appears as the third song on side one of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers album of the same name. The song is a classic tale of a rock star's rise to fame and demise in the music biz, similar to the story in Bad Company's Shooting Star and Michael McMahon's Number One with a Bullet. Julian Temple directed the video for the song, which received heavy rotation on MTV. It features Petty and the Heartbreakers, Johnny Depp, Faye Dunaway, Matt LeBlanc, and Wiggy. An interesting shot in the video is of the motel, which resembles the Hollywood Premier Motel on Hollywood Boulevard, where Petty and the band briefly lived while recording their debut album at the now-demolished Shelter Records studio across the street and down a block. The song was released as a single in September 1991 and went to number 4 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Chart and number 92 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles Chart. Personnel on the record were Tom Petty, lead and backing vocals, rhythm guitar, Mike Campbell, lead guitar, Benmont Tench, keyboards, Howie Epstein, bass, backing vocals, Stan Lynch, drums, percussion, and Jeff Lynne, backing vocals. The album, Into the Great Wide Open, was recorded in 1990-91 at Rumbo Studio C in Canoga Park and MC Studios in Studio City, California. Produced by Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, and Mike Campbell, the album was released in July 1991. It went to number 13 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. It was the last album Stan Lynch played on as a Heartbreaker. 6 singles were released from the LP. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were an American rock and roll band formed in Gainesville, Florida, under the name Mud Crutch, in 1976 by Tom Petty, Mike Campbell, Benmont Tench, Ron Blair, and Stan Lynch. Their debut album, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, was released in November 1976. They released 16 studio albums, 10 live albums, a soundtrack album, 9 compilation albums, an EP, and 76 singles and have sold more than 80 million records worldwide. They are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Their final show was at the Hollywood Bowl in September 2017, where they ended the show with American Girl. 8 members have passed through the group since its formation. Howie Epstein died in Santa Fe in February 2003 at 47, and Tom Petty died in Santa Monica in October 2017 at 66. The Heartbreakers broke up after Petty's death. All the members are still active in various solo ventures.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.